friendship sweeter. Knowing you're near, it's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
First Peter chapter 2 verses 2 and 3, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. First Peter chapter 2 verses 2 and 3, amen and amen. The Lord is good, and we have tasted, and we want more, and we are craving, and we hunger and desire to have more and more of Him. Friend, happy Thursday, this 21st day of March 2013. It's Joey Kroll spending some time here with you for the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends. So good to see you. Yesterday, my family and I, we had a chance to go see Hannah, our 7-year-old, perform at her school recital last night. She had one small solo. She did very well. And of course, we took several pictures at the event. So that was really cool. That was really, really neat. Good family time last night. And we were blessed by that. So I pray that your night and your day has been going well thus far. And we're getting ready. It's kind of hard to believe we are, what is it now, 3 weeks away from that community-wide Bible study, the four Gospels entitled The Merged Gospels. It's a community-wide Bible study. It's going to be a bi-weekly 12-week study through the four Gospels, and it's going to be with Mark Burns along with Pastor Jason every other Thursday night from 6:30 to 8. And the study will meet at Judah Christian School, of course, on North Prospect in Champaign. And there are some seats still available for you. You do need to register, and there's a small fee to cover the cost of the books and all class materials. So if you are interested in growing and being more and more equipped when it comes to learning about our Lord and with your relationship with Him, this is a great Bible study for you and your friends and your family. You can get registered or to get more information by giving us a call at 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777 for the Merged Gospels Bible study that we're starting 3 weeks from today, Thursday night, April the 11th, from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. And speaking of that telephone number, 217-367-7777, I was out in my car yesterday. This was kind of funny. And as many times as I've given that number on the air each and every week, I had to call the station. I had to call Karen, who's our great office manager here at the station. And I had to call her. And for some reason, I forgot the number to the office here at the radio station. I'm thinking, hang on, is it 8? What is the... I totally skipped out. I had like a mind vacation. I don't know. I went somewhere. I don't know where, but I did get a hold of Karen, just by the way. It took a few minutes, but I did get the number right. So yeah, 217-367-7777 if you want more information on the Merged Gospels Community-Wide Bible Study. Well, Fred, we have a great devotion coming your way today. We're going to look at the life of Samson. Oh, it's going to be a good one, so I hope you can join me for that right after this, right here on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends on Great News Radio.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Yes. aleluya, no nos da cuenta,
I have decided to follow Jesus right here in the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends on Great News Radio. Isn't it amazing how perfect God, holy and righteous, still uses people like you and me who mess up consistently and still continues to use us for his glory, despite how our flesh may get in the way and we have the right intentions, but we drop the ball from time to time. But God loves us so much that he even still uses us and thinks that we still have value. Our devotion from today comes with that same thought from Judges 16 about a young man by the name of Samson. Now, to just get a quick backdrop on Samson, his mother was unable to give birth. She was childless. She was barren. She was unable to have a child. But the angel of the Lord came to her. You can read about this in Judges 13 and said, hey, you are barren and you are childless, but you are going to become pregnant and give birth to a son. And the angel told her, see to it that you drink no wine or any fermented drink, and you do not eat anything unclean. You will become pregnant and have a son whose head is never to be touched by a razor, because the boy is to be a Nazarite. And you're probably thinking, what in the world is a Nazarite? Well, a Nazarite was somebody who was set apart for God. They had a vow with God to avoid drinking wine, cutting their hair, but it was somebody who was just set apart to and for God. And the angel told her that you're going to have a boy, and he is to never have his head touched by a razor, because he is going to be a Nazarite dedicated to God from the womb. And he is going to lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines. Okay, so she gives birth to Samson. He grows up, and he has beautiful hair, and he's one of the strongest men, and he's known for his strength in all the land. So we pick up in Judges 16 with that background. One day Samson went to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute. Okay, this is not really a good way to start off a story about a godly man, but even though he was set apart, he still let his flesh get in the way. One day Samson went to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute. He went in to spend the night with her. Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, see if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him so we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver. And friend, 1,100 shekels is equal to thousands of dollars today. Thousands of dollars. So the rulers of the Philistines wanted to know the secret of the strength of Samson. Samson, again, had this great strength, and everybody knew it, and they wanted it. They wanted what he had. Samson went to Gaza, which is in Philistine, where he really had no business. But his motivation to go into this city was to go see a prostitute and spend a night with her. He was so well known that the people of the city were like, Samson is here, Samson is here, and they wanted to kill him. He was motivated by sin to go into the city and sleep with a harlot, a prostitute. And it said that sometime later he fell in love with another woman, and her name was Delilah. And she was believed to be from Philistine. And the rulers of the Philistines came to her and said, hey, if you can lure this man and try to be seductive, because we know that's what he likes, apparently. Try to lure him into telling you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him so we may tie him up and subdue him. We'll even give you a whole bunch of money to do it. Verse 6, this is where we pick up. So Delilah said to Samson, tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued. So she was probably saying this in a way where she was maybe flirty. I don't know. But Samson answered her, if anyone ties me up with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, I'll become as weak as any man. When the rulers of the Philistines brought her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not been tried, and she tied them up with them. With men hidden in the room, she called to them, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. But he snapped the bowstrings as easily as a piece of string snaps when it becomes close to a flame. So the secret of his strength was not discovered. Again, the secret of his strength is putting a razor to his head and cutting his hair. Then Delilah said to Samson, you made a fool of me. You lied to me. Come on now. Tell me the secret on how you can be tied. And then he said, the second time, if anyone ties me securely with new ropes that have never been used, I'll become weak as any other man. So Delilah took new ropes and tied him with them. Then, with men hidden in the room, she called to him, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. But he snapped the ropes off his arms as if they were threats. Delilah said to Samson, all this time you've been making a fool of me and lying to me. Tell me how you can be tied. Again, she was probably saying this in a seductive way with little or no robes on. Again, she was trying to seduce him, and she'll do whatever it takes because she was motivated by all that shekels. He replied, if you weave the 7 braids of my head into the fabric on the loom and tighten it with the pin, I'll become as weak as any other man. So while he was sleeping, Delilah took the 7 braids of his head, wove them into fabric, and tied them with a pin. Again, she called out, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. Then he woke up from his sleep and pulled up the pin and the loom with the fabric. And, you know, if I was Samson by now, I'll be thinking, girl, you got a lot of baggage here because every time we get together, there's some guys attacking me here. Right? You would think that he would get it. Like, hey, you know what? Something is up here. I don't know. But his sin was motivating him to continue. Then she said, how can you say I love you when you can't confide in me? Now she was going deep on him now. She was going deep. She was going deep in the midst of his emotions there to get what she wants. This is the third time you made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength. With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was sick to death of it. Man, isn't that just like sin? Amen. I mean, you try to get away from it. You want to get away from it, but it's going to be there. It's trying to get your attention. It's the enemy is going to use, and he's going to do whatever it takes to get you down, because he will not stop. Verse 17 of Judges chapter 16. So he told her everything. No razor has ever been used on my head, he said, because I have been a Nazirite, dedicated to God from my mother's womb. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man. When Delilah saw that he told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, came back once more. He has told me everything. So the rulers and the Philistines returned with silver in their hands. After putting him to sleep on her lap, she called for someone to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. See, friend, Samson was flirting with sin. He was flirting with sin from the get-go. He went into a city that he had no business in. He had to leave the city. He had to make the effort to be proactive and feeding the desires of his sin and basically slept around. And he found this young lady who he was attracted to. And the Philistines knew that. The rulers of the Philistines knew that. And they wanted to know the source of his strength, how he can be subdued. And he started off really easy. He told her, if anyone ties me with 7 fresh bowstrings that had never been dried, I'll become weak as any other man. And he kind of gave her the go around with the ropes, and he started to get closer and closer to the actual secret. He said, "If you weave the 7 braids of my head into the fabric on the loom and tighten them with the pin, I'll become as weak as any other man." He is treading that line. And officially, he caved in because he spent so much time in that sin. And he told her everything. See, sin doesn't happen one day. It's a slow fade into that sin. His hair had nothing to do with it. It is what the hair represented, his vow and his commitment to God. That's what it was about. It had nothing to do with the hair. The hair was a representation, a symbolic source, so to speak, of his vow with God, and he broke it. And his strength left him. And he realized, after he got up and he had no strength, he realized that he made a mistake. How many times do we, in the midst of our sin, we realize this was a bad idea. This was a bad idea. Then the Philistines seized him and they gouged out his eyes. And they took him and they tied him up, binding him in bronze shekels. They put him in prison. He was bald. They gouged out his eyes. They tied him up. They made sure he was going nowhere. And then it says, "But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved." See, friend, that's the grace of God coming in the midst of his sin. It said, "But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved." And they tied him up in between these two pillars, making sure that he was going nowhere. In verse 27, "Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there, and on the roof there were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson. Then Samson prayed to God, 'Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more, and let me, with one blow, get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes.' Then Samson reached towards the two central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on one and his left hand on the other. Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' Then he pushed with all of his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than when he lived." The last great victory came only when he was broken, when he was humiliated and blind. He could no longer look to himself for his source of strength. He had a call upon God. You know, sharing this passage, there are several things that we can take away. Shows the dangers of underestimating our own sinfulness, how lust and ungodly desire can lead to destruction. But praise God, God Almighty still used Samson in a mighty way. It said that he killed many more men when he died than he did when he was living. And the neat thing is, God's will was completed. Because when we talked about the background of Samson, the angel of the Lord came to his mother and said that he will take the lead into delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines. And that's exactly what happened when he died. The lessons we can learn from Samson's life are that if we are willingly and repeatedly walk into temptations which leads to sin, we will suffer the consequences of our disobedience, even though God still uses us to accomplish his will. In the end, Samson understood the true source of his strength, but he never understood his true purpose. God can still use you, but just make sure that you are walking in tune with what he wants you to do. Put his desires before yours, and make sure your sin doesn't override the calling that you have in your life.
We will worship him alone.
Chris, and we will glorify the Lord right here on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends here on Great News Radio on this 21st day of March 2013. Friend, thank you so much for letting me spend some time here with you. As always, I always look forward to our time here together. And don't forget Mark and Jason in the studio tomorrow for the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. Until next time, remember that you are salt and you are light, and you are the hands and feet of Jesus. Enjoy the rest of your day.